Channel One Riot and beginning of a visit with Helen Cook this Sunday afternoon, the 29th of November 1970. It goes up to around 400, goes up to around 350 or 400. This visit with Helen, we came in to get some sweet potatoes. Channel One Right, the visit, short visit in the kitchen with Helen this Sunday afternoon, 29th November 1970. Channel One Right, and the short visit with Helen in the kitchen this Sunday afternoon, 29th November 1970. Channel One Right, and beginning of the short visit with Helen Cook this Sunday afternoon, late, 29th November 1970.
I just wondered if we can have some of these sweet potatoes over here. Hey, do you all like them? You want some?
How few?
You take a few.
Just a few.
You don't need that many?
Oh, no.
It's a mess.
Big mess.
Yeah.
I noticed you bake them. How do you bake?
I just stuck them in the oven and just let them stay until they were. Can you put this down over here?
Oh, I can smell it. We were trying to decide what was in it.
Yeah, well, I just didn't know whether you wanted any.
Part of them eat sweet potatoes and part of them don't.
Oh, they don't all eat them?
Uh-uh. Now, I mean, if I make them into pie or something, all but Frank. He would need a pumpkin pie. Apple pies. Apple and cherry.
Oh, really?
He can't stand raisin pie and he can't stand pumpkin pie. And
I wouldn't want to tempt him with one if I wanted a piece right there. You mean Frank?
Frank.
And if he doesn't eat anything.
And if he doesn't like it, he won't touch it.
Oh, he won't.
No.
No.
Not Frank.
He's very definite. All your children are. Like their daddy.
They like, uh-huh. And if they don't, they don't.
Well, she was just saying that she thought when Leo got away from the shop, he wouldn't have a headache, but even out here, he has a headache.
He said he's just tired. He said it's hurting him now.
I never saw anything work out the way that pump and well did. Ever step of the way, it has just been a struggle.
Yeah, well, everything's been a struggle. It sure has.
Yes, with his,
I think it's because he just can't think. I meant to ask you, have you noticed that?
Cookie? No, he thinks all right.
I tell you who brought it to my attention was Mrs. Fong. Alvin Fong's wife?
Yeah.
We went on the Halloween party to head over to church. And she told me the next day, she said, you know, if I hadn't known him, said I would have thought he was drunk. I said, well, why? Well, I had noticed it myself, but I hadn't said anything. When his head hurts real bad.
Yeah.
He can't get his mind doesn't function right. He just can't get his words out. And she said he was a bat in his eyes, and he was a squinting. His head was hurt. His head hurt so,
yeah.
And he was stuttering, and he just had to stop and think. And she said, "Now if I didn't know better, she said I would have thought he'd had something to drink."
Yeah.
And I just wondered if you all had noticed that.
Oh, once, twice he sort of sits down.
Like has to think before, and that's unusual for him. But he can be down here and come home. He goes to bed just the same as he does when he comes from work.
Yeah.
So it's not where he's been.
Mm-mm. It's just his head. The back of his neck.
Just too much. That's all it's got.
He came in one night not long ago, and I thought we were going to have to eat in the dark. He couldn't stand any light.
Oh.
His head hurt so bad, he was just holding it.
Yeah.
And we did put a lamp way back in the corner in the dining room. And he went out on the porch and he sat in the dark. And then he went to bed. And everyone was in bed by 8:30. Every light in the house off. Every sound was... He couldn't stand the sound. He couldn't stand the children making the noise. He couldn't stand the light. So I just put him all to bed. Everyone was in bed at 8:30. But that's about the worst. His. So I hope this doctor can find
him. He won't help him go to the doctor. Living the life he does, Helen. Oh, that's... I could doctor him. Just have him sit down a little bit.
You know what to do? You would drive him crazy then.
He just can't sit down.
Mm-mm. He's always been on the go. All of his life, he has always been on the go. I guess he's hunting for someone. Maybe he.
Maybe he's checking for Mr.
Maybe he needs something.
Yeah, now you're
there. They just went over there. Calamander. Did you think that? Did the girls think of your name?
They said it was a calamander, but I've never seen one that. I mean, so much larger than these.
This Miss Paramore is the. Yeah, he just comes out to see about his bees.
Uh huh.
Well, I don't know where how you get time to bake and do things.
I baked before I did that before I went to work last night. Took it out. I think I took it out of the oven about 5 minutes before I left. Told him to cover it up. That's as far as I got. And I had intended to bake a Lars and Leo's really his favorite is butterscotch.
Oh.
And I didn't have time to make the dough up last night. No, mm-hmm. I did have, but I was tired. I sat down. And I had one night, Friday night. Oh
really?
Whew, well, I don't think we were still a minute.
Why, Helen?
Oh, we have a lot of seizure patients. And one started at 11 o'clock. And then we have this one that's crippled. You know, we have to put in a wheelchair. She just, the older one, she's 66. Well, at 11 o'clock, one had a seizure. And 5 minutes after 11, this one started getting out of bed that you have to put in a wheelchair. And at 10 minutes after 11, and another one had a seizure. And we were just running for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
This one was climbing out. I had to get her in the wheelchair. Well, I got her to the bathroom, and the other lady, I told her to go running. I said, I heard her. And I knew she was. And as it happened, they were right side by side, the ladies that had them.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, so she ran real quick. And the old beds are so high, if they fall out, they break their neck.
Uh-huh.
You know. So I said, I'll get her back to bed one way or the other. And so she had quieted down. It was just a light seizure. So She got back just the time I got her off of the bed, ready to get her in the bed. She helped me then. But she was up and down all night.
Well, it's just a lot harder on you, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes.
To be passed
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are harder patients. They're crippled. Of course, the poor souls can't help it.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are dying with cancer.
Yeah.
And a lot of cases, you know,
yeah.
that you just have to... And we have one that when she goes to bathroom, you have to lead her,
uh-huh.
and she'll call you. She'll call you
uh-huh.
though,
uh-huh.
and you have to lead her to the bathroom. You lead her back. We have one that is blind. She is deaf. I mean, she can't talk. She can't hear. She can't see.
But over in the other cottage where you were for a while, it was just easy, and it really enjoyed it.
Well, I knew everyone. I knew all their dispositions, and the way it is now, half of them I don't even know them yet.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know the ones that have seizures, and they're all over. And they're the building is so big and so crowded, and we have one lamp we use up here. Well, down back in that dark area, if you hear something, you just have to run because you don't
mm-hmm.
know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But over there, no, I enjoyed it because I knew all of them, and I knew we kept our seizure patients up
uh-huh.
around the desk.
Sure. Yeah.
I got a little more to do out there.
But when you have so many. You can't put them all around the desk. And then at 4:30 in the morning, or almost 5, here was another one, way back in the corner. We had to go hunting her. I didn't even know which one was which. I just heard it.
Just talking about the difference in the work there.
No, it is a difference.
It's a lot of difference.
I tell you, if it gets too much difference, I'm going to quit. I'm just not going to put up with it.
Well, how do you figure that somebody can come in and just stir things up like that?
I don't know. I still think I'm going to talk to the superintendent. I haven't gone yet, but I think I am.
Well, maybe that's the trouble.
Well, we just have two. Now, there's just two of us that have moved. They have moved.
Yes.
And they moved me in, and that was the end of it. They haven't touched another one.
Yes.
And the lady that they put in my place didn't want it.
Oh.
She didn't want down there.
Yeah. Is that right?
But she was black.
Yeah.
And they said they had... No, she didn't want it. She was satisfied where she was.
Of all things.
But they put her down there. And I don't know about the other one now. But I found out who the lady... I don't call her a lady. I found out the one that stirred the stink up to start with. Now, she's one of these smart ones that likes to show authority.
Oh.
And,
That always...
Yeah, I met up with her a couple times and put her in her place, and I haven't seen her since. I don't know where she'd be back on the cottage sometime. I'll come face to face with her, but right now she's working on another cottage. She was trying to leave on 5 after 10 when she's supposed to stay till 10:30. And 15 after 10 she'd been leaving. 15 minutes before she's supposed to.
Yeah.
So I let her go one night, 15 after 10. And when I started my book work, I found she had made some mistakes. And if it had been somebody else, you know, I would have cleared them up, you know, just to mark it out to let it go on through. But I wasn't. I was going to send it in just like it was, mistakes and all. And she hadn't even signed on her time. Well, you have to do that to get paid. And I let her go, though, at 15 after 10, 25 minutes to 11, the doorbell rang. And she happened, because I had questioned her about leaving then. She came back. She had remembered some things she didn't do. So the next week, in the meantime, I had found out what to do if that case, you know, would come up again. So she tried to leave 15 after, and I told her, I says, well, here's the book you'll have to sign off now. 15 minutes short of your regular time. And she looked at me and I said, well, that was orders. If you leave now, you have to sign off now. So she stayed till 10:30.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen her since.
Now that's just childish, isn't it? Just cutting corners.
Yeah. But she was the one that got up.
Yeah.
And they said she talked terribly to the superintendent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was the one. And I knew that.
She's black.
Mm-hmm. She was the one that had gotten up in one of their meetings. Just a minute! Had gotten up in one of their meetings and said she didn't see why there weren't more black supervisors.
Yeah.
On high grades. See, they had black supervisors, but they're all on low grades mostly.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And she thought they should be mixed.
Uh-huh.
And he tried to explain to her, if you put the whole Sunland as a whole, there are as many supervisors, black ones, as there are white ones.
Oh.
But that wasn't what she wanted. She wanted them on high grade. She wanted high grade black ones.
Oh, I see.
Instead of low grade.
Mm-hmm.
And she even told me, she says, well, do I have to write it out in a story for you? That was the words that were quoted to me that she said. Mm-hmm. So I just decided, well, if I ever relieve her again and she starts to leave that way, I'll find out. So I asked my supervisor what I should do. That I understood that she'd, well, I knew on my time she had left before.
Uh-huh.
She says, well, you just tell her, she'll have to sign out.
Uh-huh. Well,
and also, another rule is you are not to take, like if someone forgot to sign off, you know, forgot to sign their name or something, you are not allowed to sign their name.
Oh, I see that.
See, she had told me that I should have gone ahead and fixed her papers for.
Yes.
And I told her, I says, no, ma'am, I'm not allowed to.
Yes.
Well, she says, well, I break rules out here every day. And I says, well, I don't intend to.
Yeah.
I might make a mistake once in a while, but I don't intend to intentionally. Yeah. Well, she says, I do all the time.
Yes.
But she was the one, I understood that she was the one that started it all. But why they didn't go ahead and change any more of them, I don't know. I don't mind where I work, but it's just harder work. And two, it's the difference. Because one cottage is hot and one cottage is cold.
Yeah.
The temperature is so different. And one maybe on one cottage I have to wear a sweater all night. The next cottage you burn up without a sweater.
Yeah.
And then, especially on this one cottage, if we get very busy, I'll just be burning up when I come out in the cold air.
Uh-huh.
And that's
yeah.
that. Whereas you stay on one cottage, you know how to dress and you know how to control the heat and everything. And some of the cottages you can't do anything about it.
I know how it is.
Especially on small children, they have the thing fixed to you can't do anything with it. You can't turn it off, on, or anything.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You just burn up.
Yes, and it can get hot.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'd rather be just a little on the chilly side.
I would. I'd rather put a sweater on any day is not be able to take any more off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the real cold morning, Wednesday morning, it was so cold. I had to wait on my ride about 15 minutes outside. I come on out of the building and wait, and I was numb. I was so cold, I didn't know how cold I was. And it was so hot in the building to start with and come out. I thought it'd make you sick, but it didn't. I had enough. I had tied my head up, you know, keep from, because I knew that about being so hot inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I don't mind working with these crippled women. It's just a lot of pull and tug. And the ones that are helpless, you just have to lift them.
Yeah. Well, now that lifting, you know, that's.
I know this lady that works with me. I believe she said she was almost 60. And she's worked regular out there for a good while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's used to it. So it bothers her. But both of us together, we managed to pull and tug. But last night was fairly quiet.
Now you keep moving more than you did with the one cottage.
Mm, oh, yeah.
I don't know. Somehow I thought that arrangement you had.
Now, where I was working, I had been there 3.5 years. I knew all the girls, and I knew every sound. I knew who made the sound. I didn't have to look up to see. I knew.
Uh-huh.
And where it is now, I don't know half their names. Now, this crippled cottage, I couldn't tell you half their names. And if one of them, if I happen to be there all night by myself, and every once in a while there's a short, they do work one. And one of them would have a seizure, I don't know why I'd write her down. I'd have to go through the file and find a picture that might look like her. Now, that's just the way I'd have to go about it, or wake one of them up that could tell me, you know. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
But now the medication part, we just have two that we have to give medicine to. Well, I know now. I know what the pills look like and what size they are, and I can tell if that's right or wrong. But if I went in onto a strange cottage and had to give medicine and didn't even know them and not know whether it's the right medicine or not, you could give them anything.
Well, that's right.
Now, yesterday morning, we had a lady come down, had never worked a cottage before. She didn't know the first one, and she had to give medicine at 7 o'clock. And I mean a stack of it.
Yeah.
And she didn't know the first one.
Oh, what do you know?
And we tried to tell her which ones to get up first that could point out who's who, and maybe they could help her. She said, I just don't know what I'm doing. And it was a stack. It was a stack. They put them in separate envelopes, you know, separate for each one. And it was a stack for the 7 o'clock medications. And I wouldn't know whether I was giving the right size, shape, or color of pill, you know, when it's all new. I guess maybe they wouldn't take it if it wasn't. I guess some of them's been taking medicine, you know, for so long. If it wasn't the right color, they wouldn't have it.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. But I felt so sorry for her. I had to go off and leave her. She was just lost. No, this one particular cottage, they eat on the cottage. They don't go out to the dining hall or anything. They eat on the cottage.
Had to bring their food in.
They bring it by truck. They bring the food. And they serve it. They do their own dishwashing and take care of their own. Some of the ladies that are able to do that, and they take care of their own things. And that's another thing we've been doing, washing in the middle of the night and hanging clothes up outside.
That night shift is not made for that, is it?
Not for washing clothes. Not when you have to hang them outside.
No.
Now, last night I hang one load, and the next lady hangs a load, and then if there's another load, I'll go back and hang it up rather than have her do it. And we don't have more than three loads. But you have to go out on the porch, and it's an open porch, and it doesn't have a ceiling. It's screened on top. And you have to go outside and hang them up. Mm-hmm.
Screen on top.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. We were talking one night, you know, if it was cloudy and it looked like rain, whether we should hang the clothes up or not. Not real stupid, you know. I thought, well, we'd hang the little things in the front so it wouldn't blow in on them. I didn't know that it didn't have roof. So it cleared off, and we would decide to hang them out anyway. And all at once, the moon shined right down on me, and I thought, well, that's awfully bright all of a sudden. I looked up, and the screen. And here I tried to tell the lady, you know, we'd hang the little pieces out front.
No,
if Leo gets, I said, if he would get on to university and get straightened out, I won't put up with too much more of their movings and fussing.
Something like that is just bound to help Leo, isn't it?
I hope.
Well, he can have some hours. Yeah.
You know, his sister had so much trouble with headaches. And it wasn't her head at all.
Just too much trouble. Well, Helen, now let me tell you, I get into that same thing. I start a little job out here, and it won't. I think I finished it, and it won't stay finished. It's just like this pump, except this has lasted so much longer than most things, and it's just ridiculous. And you know what you do? You think, well, sir, I've taken care of that now. This fella's coming over here and put the well down this weekend.
Yeah.
So you just sort of in a paradise, fool's paradise there for a little while, and then it comes to you, he didn't get over here. No, sir, I just never saw anything hang on the way things do sometimes. And then when you're limited, you know, if Leo gets off during the week, it's dark or close to it, and you can't do much in after dark. Now, these short days.
I know.
Did you all, have you all seen Alvin recently?
I haven't. I went to sleep last Sunday morning, and I told him to get me up to go, and they went off to church and left me sleep.
Oh, really?
The last two Sundays.
Oh, really?
So we didn't go this morning. They fooled around till it was late, and I said, just forget it. Laura didn't feel too good anyway.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him in the longest time.
No. I guess Laura talked to him, I went to sleep, and I think Alice said she came in and asked me, and I said to go on. But if they can ask me anything if I'm sleeping, I'll answer them and not know it. So I guess I told them to go on, and they went on.
Yeah.
So I didn't go.
Whatever happened to your minister over there, Mr.
Drew?
Drew.
He's been having Sunday services at which one? Calvary Baptist, I believe, in Gainesville. Just filling in until they found someone.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been called to any church. Not any in particular. There's most churches without a pastor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They say there are about 8 or 10 in Gainesville.
Oh, really?
And the one out in Johnson and the one in Windsor, he's just an interim pastor. Just until they find another one.
Oh, really?
He isn't a full-time pastor. No, just until they find another one. He's just regular until they... While they're still looking.
Yeah.
They have someone without having to look here and there, you know, to find someone for each Sunday. They call him an interim pastor.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know whether that's what Brother Drew was being called or not, but he had 5 or 6 Sundays, I know. I believe it was Calvary Baptist. Bennett used to be there, and he moved to, well, he's just going here and there too, because he was out Johnson last week.
Helen, I thought, my impression of him was he was a right considerable man.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be glad to go to his church.
Well, I've heard this one now. This one they hired for the interim pastor, I've heard him once, is all. But she called me, Mrs. Drew called me last week, I guess it was. She'd been in the hospital. And I didn't call because I didn't know whether she had a phone near the bed or not, you know, and I wouldn't call. And she said he had one more Sunday, I think it was. We're just filling in, I guess. I think it was one more Sunday.
That's the way to get acquainted. Just be an interim preacher.
Right here and there and someplace else.
Yeah. Then people don't get tired of you.
Mm-hmm.
That would just, I don't know what I'd do if I stayed in place very long. You know, I know they'd get so tired of me they couldn't stand to see me.
Oh, what'd they do? Walk and leave me?
Yeah.
They walk and leave me.
I believe you need to take a nap.
I'll wait till bedtime.
After you waited this long?
After I waited this long, I'll wait till bedtime.
I gotta go down that way. I'll give you a lift.
Okay.
I tell you, I had some. She didn't want this many potatoes. I have some.
No,
I have something out here that I haven't found.
Now that short visit with Helen this Sunday afternoon, 29th November 1970, Channel 1 Right. This is rather low-key, not much to tape. The middle or less of, I'd say, around 300 and 400. Channel 1 Right, on this new reel, Helen Cook, the Sunday afternoon late, or the middle, yeah, towards late Sunday afternoon, 29th November 1970, Channel 1 Right.
And did they pick the oranges?